I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, March 26, 2018.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We both had busy weekends, and so I guess the thing that people are talking about this weekend, I mean, Saturday, the march against gun violence.
Right.
Some people in this town even were participating in that.
Yeah.
Sunday, the Juno Awards were in Vancouver. I didn't watch any of that.
The awards happened on Sunday, but it's pretty much like a weekend-long event.
Yeah, they give out some. They have so many awards, they give out some of them on Saturday.
Yeah.
Canadian music, I mean, is that something that's on your iPod that you listen to, say?
You know what? Not really, not so much. Like, I mean, Drake is on my iPod. He is Canadian. Mm-hmm. I don't know really what he identifies anymore. I don't think he was at the Junos. He's gone beyond that now.
No.
But actually, now that you say that, Saturday. So Saturday there was a concert for a Canadian artist, Jessie Reyes, and she had these Canadian rappers that opened for her, the Rascals, who actually happened to go to Tupper as well.
Oh, really?
So they're grads from Tupper, and they still live in Vancouver. Red One does anyway. She brought them out onto the stage, and Choclair and Cardinal Official, and do you know Chaos?
Yeah, I've heard of a couple of those folks you just mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, so they were brought on the stage, and my friend was at this concert, and she said that it was basically silent because all of the people there were too young to know who they are. I was like, yeah, you know, that's actually a good point, because I would have been excited to see that. When I think about it, I know those guys graduated a good 8 years before us.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're in their later 40s now.
Yeah.
So.
But most of the people listening to music or like that go to, say, the Grammys or the Junos would be people younger than us, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, right? They definitely, I mean, let alone that it was, you know, Canadian rap.
Yeah.
And they did have some good, really popular singles that went beyond mainstream Canadian music. It was, some of them were featured on BET, Black Entertainment Television, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
For a younger person to know that or just to immediately recognize it is be a little out of the ordinary unless they've really done their research.
Yeah. I guess the other thing about Canadian music, I mean, I didn't watch the show, but it was, you know, the Bare Naked Ladies came back.
Mm.
The Tragically Hip, they pay tribute to Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip. I mean, this is music that's a little for people older than us, too, I guess, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't see young people, for example. Gord Downie was pretty popular, but I don't see, I mean, he's not someone that would be, say, selling records or whatever, right?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, I was never into...
Or downloaded by young people, or people in who are 18 or 20.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the young people are weird, too, nowadays, anyway, right?
They like older stuff, too, yeah?
And what's old to them is probably not that old to us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But they're all so different. They're all into different things, you know.
Yeah, and they're in America, if you're in high school, you're scared of a shooter and you're coming into your school, right?
Yeah, we don't have those same kind of fears here for the most part.
Yeah, because guns aren't as available here as in the United States.
They're not, yeah. I guess, you know. I don't know. It's just crazy what's happening down there. We're lucky in the sense that, exactly, guns are not as widely available. Not that we know of, anyway. I mean, the number of school shootings that happen here are zero to none. So I guess we're doing something right.
Yeah, it has happened in Alberta and some in other places as well. But
it has, but it's not, you know, I mean, literally in the States, it's like every week.
Yeah. What, I mean, the one thing that struck me out of all of this is, especially these kids from Parkland High School in Florida, just how captivating they are as speakers. I mean, that's something that we're seeing now that we hadn't seen before. And I guess the kids are right to be angry and right to want to mobilize because they're afraid of their lives, right? But I mean, But that's what's impressed me is just how, well-spoken they all are.
Well, I was just going to say, they're extremely well-spoken, but exactly to your point, they're mobilizing, right? And it kind of reminds me of the roots of the union, right? Mm-hmm. These kids have formed the union, they're all going towards one common goal. At the end of the day, they're mad, they're angry, they've had enough. And that's usually where most groups, unions, are successful, is when you have a group of people that are angry enough that are willing to push for change, right? And these kids, they don't need any training. These kids are natural-born activists because essentially they've been born into this. The craziness that's happening at the levels at which it's happening, for us at our age, it's mind-blowing. To be a teenager, knowing that this is the future that's forming ahead of you, that's scary.
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, these kids have to take control somewhere because it's showing that the grown people have lost their minds.
Yeah,
going wild.
Yeah, we grew up, when we were in high school, that was when Columbine happened.
Right.
And, it hasn't stopped since then.
Nope. That was traumatizing even for, I remember we were in high school. Was that grade 11 or?
That's right. It was about grade 11 or grade 12.
Grade 12, but scary.
And it's something we all talked about, and I'm sure young people, you have kids who are of school age. I mean, that's something, is that something they're talking about at home and at school?
About the school shooting?
Yeah.
Surprisingly, no. My eldest, anyway, she agrees with the protesters. She's just as upset by it as they are, but it's actually surprisingly not something that we talk about regularly. She's, as concerned as she is with the school shooting, she's so much more, just trying to be a teenager.
Yeah, really. Just doing the stuff that kids that age should be doing. That's growing up, right?
Yeah, and so that I'm grateful for. But she's not ignorant or naive to what the realities are.
What's on the news? She's, yeah.
These things are happening. They're on the internet. They're on the Instagram, the Snapchat, all of that. They see things. Kids are next level violent. It's not things aren't how they used to be.
Yeah.
But I do like how, just as some kids are really amping it up in their levels of violence, there's kids just like these protesters that are stepping it up and fighting back and speaking out. And I think that's important. And I think those kids are going to be great examples for others to follow. I hope that's the precedent that's going to be set moving forward, is we just have a bunch of, really good examples.
Yeah, to the point of these young people speaking out, using their voices as they are, I understand in your house, you have someone who has done some public speaking in recent days, is that right?
Yes. It's something that Simone's really taking a liking to, so
yeah,
I try and support her in that any way I can, but she writes poetry, spoken word, I guess you could call it, and
yeah.
I think for the most part it really helps her. It's almost like a journal.
Uh-huh.
It's like journaling for her, and she's not really the most, she's not the most outspoken person,
Yeah.
She is, rather not shy, but she's not shy with me, but I think to outsiders, she appears shy, right? So
yeah.
I think writing it down, it's a real good way for her to get out her thoughts and feelings. and it comes out beautifully.
And I brought that up because you went to a book launch last night. I think you mentioned this on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, for Shalene Knight.
Dear Current Occupant, a memoir.
Dear Current Occupant, yes. So that's her, this is her second book.
Uh-huh.
And it was her soft book launch on Sunday night, and she had asked Simone to come and read some of her work. So it was a great opportunity to obviously get to see Shalene again, get a copy of the book, get it signed, and also for Simone to have her platform.
Yeah.
So it's I really welcome the opportunity, and it gets her comfortable with being on stage and speaking, public speaking.
I bought the book on, I guess, Sunday afternoon. I was at Pulp Fiction on Main. I went in there and talked to Chris at Pulp Fiction, and I saw the book and I picked it up. And I looked at it, I guess, just before you called. And no, it seems like a great book because it's our era,
yeah,
80s and 90s in East Van,
and
all the neighborhoods are the neighborhoods that she lived in, houses that she
very
lived
familiar
in, to both you and I, yeah, or you and me,
yeah,
and I'm looking forward to reading it.
Oh yeah, me myself as well. I have, as I said, I just got my copy, so I'm gonna crack it open real soon here.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like, you know, one of those books where I'm definitely going to get through it in a day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just feel like there's so much to take in. Just the few excerpts that she read at the event last night were so, so moving.
Yeah.
Really well written.
Yeah.
I
guess you didn't watch 60 Minutes last night with Stormy Daniels talking about Trump and her liaison with Trump, did you?
No, because we were at the book launch, but
right.
I take it you did?
No, I did not. I went to go see The Death of Stalin at the Fifth Avenue.
That's right. You watched The Death of... Yeah, no, I was... Saturday... What did I... Saturday I was watching 48 Hours.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
So that's what I was doing on Saturday.
I notice you do that a lot. You watch 48 Hours, you watch W5, you watch The Fifth Estate. I guess any show with a number in it you watch, right?
Yeah, pretty much, right? 90210.
For people listening, it's the shows that we mentioned, 48 Hours, W5, Fifth Estate, 60 Minutes, these are all news magazine shows. And so I guess you were telling me before we started about what was on 48 Hours with regards to... tracking devices, right?
Yeah, because we were talking about the Facebook and the tracking and the, you know, this, that, and the whatnot. And there was a guy on 48 Hours who was acquitted of murder based on basically the tracking of his whereabouts on his phone. So they basically go on to this Google dashboard, and it's tracking every single location that he's at based on the location GPS location tracker on his phone.
And I guess a lot of us don't know this. I mean, all our phones do this unless we shut it down. And I was mentioning to you before we started a woman on Facebook who I've known for a while. She was wondering why she had bought her son some sneakers at one of the shoe stores in the mall, you know, like Sport Check or whatever. And then the minute she gets home, but later in the day, she looks on Facebook, and then the ads on Facebook are for the same sneakers that she bought, and she was wondering how that happened. And people are complaining about Facebook now because of these data breaches and the sort, and I guess it's giving people a lot of pause as to whether they really need to control how their devices work and what they put out there, right?
Well, yeah, and you know what it is, too? I don't know. You know, when you get a new phone, and I know you don't get new phones regularly, but you just did, didn't you?
Yeah, but 2 months ago, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when you get a new phone and you're setting it up, you know, a lot of people just bypass all that crap. But, you know,
yeah, because they want to get started.
They just want to get started, right? But you're actually bypassing a lot of really important security information. That stuff you want to read and check the boxes or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are usually the checks and balances I do. One, because it drains the hell out of your battery.
Right.
But two, because yeah, I, you know, I don't really care to be trapped. Now, like I said, the one downside to that is, you know, if you happen to lose your phone, if you don't have the location monitoring on it,
you won't know
where it
is.
You're not going to be able to track it. So as long as you're able, you know, if you're not a person who loses their phone often, that shouldn't be an issue. I've never lost my phone.
Yeah.
So I usually break them, but never lose them. So that's a non-issue for me. But, you know, for those that are, they might want to keep the location monitoring.
Or at risk of getting kidnapped or something like that, right?
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, like I said, I don't keep the GPS monitoring on my daughter's phone. I did for a while. I thought, like, I wanted to try and be, like, a real, like, helicopter parent and, like, track where she was all the time. But then I realized she doesn't really go anywhere other than home and school. So it was not very, you know, not very entertaining. So I just turned that off.
So, yeah, so I should really look into that because I'm going on vacation shortly. And, you know, I don't want to lose my phone or get kidnapped for that matter.
Well, God forbid somebody kidnap you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So the reason I brought that up is because, so I saw that thing, the Facebook friend, their experience with it. Now, I had a similar experience last night. So you go to the movie theater at 7 o'clock.
Mm.
I checked in at Fifth Avenue Cinema. And I usually check in just for my own benefit so that I know where I was. And then when you see that a year later, you can see where you were, right?
Right.
What movie I saw and things like that. So after dinner, there were four of us. We went to Romer's Burgers, which is a block and a half away on Fourth Avenue. So I must have picked up my phone to look at it. I put it on the table. And I didn't check in at that point. But then when I got home about an hour and a half later, I went on the computer, logged into Facebook because I needed to get someone's phone number or something, and then I noticed there was a notification. So I checked the notification at the top. You know, you see the number, the red thing.
Mm.
And then it said, were you at Romer's Burgers recently? Answer these questions to help us with whatever, you know, they ask you if there's a parking lot or if how many, you know, what hours. You just help them fill their information box or whatever. But I guess that sort of freaked me out. That's why I brought it up with you before we started, did they know? Because I didn't go on their Wi-Fi. You know, I guess it's a GPS on my phone, right?
Yeah. Thingy, yeah. So, you know, if you don't want those anymore, sometimes I do those little answer response things.
Yeah, and people log on to Wi-Fi all the time. So you mean, you know, you'd be naive to think or even stupid to think that it's just internet access, right?
I try not to use public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, because we have this whole data breach training thing at work, so it's made me extremely cautious now. So I try not to use public Wi-Fi because it essentially you're open to everybody on that network.
Yeah. I mean, you see that on the ad for Shaw. I think it's Shaw Wi-Fi. It's for businesses that they can track down. You know, you can use the data of the people in your coffee shop.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you know, yeah, we're getting free Wi-Fi, but, I mean, there is a cost to that. You know, your information, you're giving your information.
Exactly.
To these businesses that are giving the free Wi-Fi to begin
with. Right. So you have to consider what the trade is, right? And, I mean, most companies offer pretty good data plans, and from what I understand, I think next month, April 1st, they're going to get even better.
Yeah.
But most companies offer pretty good data plans, so, you know, you just got to use your Wi-Fi, you know, your data for a bit while you're out. It's probably safer than using those public Wi-Fi spots. And, you know, I've already considered, you know, my grandma's the one that told me, you need to, the Facebook, you know, she's always so worried about this security of Facebook. And now this whole thing has just, you know,
the Cambridge Analytica thing,
it's really just amplified her
fears.
Her fears. And but she's like, no, I'm right, I told you.
Also, she's never used it because she's doubtful.
She hates it. She hates it. She hates when I post photos of her on Facebook. But I'm like, okay, but grandma, are you wanted by the CIA? Like, who's looking for you? I understand there could be security breaches and whatnot, but I mean, I very highly doubt anybody wants to steal my identity. They wouldn't be picking a good one. And, you know, it's what else. Yeah. At this point, there's so much on there already.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I mean, but you're hearing that a lot, I'm sure, from your own Facebook friends, mine as well, wanting to do, seriously wondering if they should delete it because of everything. And but you know, again, you know, it didn't cost anything to begin with, and so what did you expect, right?
True, that's what I'm saying, right? So yeah. I mean, it's never really deleted, you know. Yeah, because I have deleted my Facebook account before, and it literally, once you go back on, it's like, do you want to reopen your account?
Whatever account, yeah, whatever posts you had from before, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it never even happened.
Right.
So it tells you, oh, where are they storing all that shit?
Yeah.
So even if I delete it, it's not really deleted.
No.
You know, so it's like, well, you're screwed now. It's already there, so.
Yeah.
Deleting it makes no difference at this point.
That's right, yeah. Well, I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, we will talk next week. That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, March 26th, 2018.
Pardon me. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back next week.